Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which you watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene. Yay!
Right.
I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have two super amazing guests all the way from St. Louis. They're wonderful. Stryker Spurlock.
Hello.
Yay. Thank you for being here. Yay. And the amazing Amy Melton.
Hello. I'm also here. So.
You're also here. Yep. Thank you for coming, guys.
What's up?
You guys are in Arizona.
Yes.
I'm in California. I wish I was in Arizona because I miss it. But you guys are doing a string of shows in Phoenix. How's that going?
A lot of fun. Last night we did a yard show that was really good.
Yeah. I don't know. It was go ahead.
You guys did the Firehouse show?
Or I guess it was at the Fountain Space.
Yeah, they moved or something.
Yeah.
Oh, where did they move?
It's this place called the Fountain Space. It's over by the Capitol.
Yeah, it's just a yard with a bus. Oh. I think some people live there.
That's hard pretty to much tell. The spirit of Fire Stage.
Okay. Yeah. So.
That sounds amazing.
Bunch of kids.
There's people
around.
Living in a bus outside of the Capitol.
You could also get tetanus there, just like Fire Stage.
For sure.
Did someone get tetanus?
Oh, I think most people got tetanus there.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we can't talk. Our jaws are locked,
I guess.
Okay. Locked? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, locked jaw. I'll get a shot.
Yeah, just go get the anti-tetanus shot.
Yep.
Is that what you meant? Okay, thank you. We're so excited that you guys are able to do this. And we like to start by asking our guests, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your life, and if in any way? And I know Stryker, I remember you were at the audience you watched the live Golden Girls podcast last time,
right?
You were in Arizona, so I know you have that history, but what else? Tell us.
I think the Golden Girls has affected me significantly. I would watch it in middle school with my grandma all the time because I lived with her, and I think it really contributed to what I think is funny. It was my favorite show ever. And
nice.
Yeah, and my grandma, nice. My grandma was basically Sophia and Dorothy, as one person, but pleasant to be around. And she actually died a couple months back, so I'm paying tribute to her by watching the Golden Girls.
Yay! That's so lovely.
Yeah,
that's the. You're great. Thanks. Beat that, Amy.
I cannot. I may have caught an episode as a kid. I've been generally aware of its existence. And today was the first episode I am aware that I've watched and recall. So, yeah, very different ends of the spectrum here.
We're all on a spectrum somewhere. This is a safe space. I started calling for some reason. People of not a lot of Golden Girl experience and people of a lot. We've had many, many different people from many different backgrounds. And so we are welcoming to all. We embrace you.
That's nice.
Sorry, that was kind of cult-like. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of have a Golden Girls handicap, I think. Yeah. Anyone of any experience can play. So.
Yeah, it's like a drum circle. You just enjoy it.
And I just get a quieter drum.
You can just grab a branch.
You may have fewer dreadlocks than anyone in the circle, but...
Oh, by the way, my grandma and I also used to eat cheesecake while watching the Golden Girls. It was we were cosplaying.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh,
for real.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
That was our thing.
That's like the equivalent of her wearing like of a jersey when she watches her favorite sports.
Exactly.
Or whenever I do meth and watch Intervention. Exactly. I don't know. Yeah, exactly like that. You gotta do what they do on the screen. Anyways, yeah, moving on.
It's like watching Breaking Bad and then your life falls apart.
So we start off by asking, no, we already did that part. Okay. Genevieve, would you like to? Okay. So I'm silly. I'm sorry. Genevieve, we usually like, to do a brief synopsis of the episode. And Genevieve does that. So go ahead, Genevieve, tell us, what happened in the episode for the listener who wasn't here to watch it with us.
All right. Well, a young man comes to the Golden Girls' door asking for George Devereaux, Blanche's husband, and turns out he's his son, and Blanche didn't know about him, and it's real awkward. And also, Dorothy and Sophia enter a beauty contest.
Yeah, a mom and daughter pageant.
Yes.
Basically a beauty
at Shady
contest.
Pines, yeah.
And then Rose just kind of hangs out.
Yeah, Rose has stories and is stupid.
Rose has stories and is stupid. And then she talks about her husband cheating on her. That's her C plot.
So did that actually happen?
Anyway. Yeah, that was
a weird nebulous gray area.
I wasn't sure if she was just trying to make Blanche feel better with a joke, or if she misunderstood a joke, or
I think she misunderstood a joke.
Yeah, and then and then didn't have sex with her husband for a year. That is amazing.
And so we start with the mother daughter. Sophia asked Dorothy to be in the mother-daughter pageant, which first she tells her that she's beautiful, which is a really, like, catches Dorothy off guard, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, okay, what are you up to?
You know something like, is amiss.
She definitely wants, she doesn't compliment people. And I mean, I don't know, like, there's... My mom just tells me I'm fat, or I'm fatter, or I lost weight, or that's my relationship.
That's pretty much what moms do. Yeah, pretty much.
So there's this fetish. There's a judge with a fetish, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is until
we don't know what it is.
Apparently, it's just being called naughty.
Calling him naughty. And he's like a short bald guy, which is like, okay, like, you, why can't like a hot guy have a fetish in a TV show? It's always like this creepy bald dude, you know?
I agree.
Like, I've met some hot dudes that, you know, are into some weird stuff. I think
it's just another way of marginalizing both groups, really. So
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
fuck that.
In fairness, to win a pageant, I can tell a guy he's naughty. Maybe give him some coal.
That's not that extreme. Yeah. That's...
And I think it's leather. I think I would imagine his fetish was leather.
Yeah.
Because they were doing some like Sonny and Cher research.
Oh, yeah. So that's a way of subtly getting it in. So that way you're not pandering, at least not too much.
Yeah, you're just playing the game then.
Because I thought she, like, what if Sophia like came to her with that one outfit and it was like that if I could turn back time Cher outfit? And then Dorothy was like, Ma, we can't wear that, you know?
Okay. This is an interesting little hidden story then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hidden, or I just made it up. Anyway. So then they go in the living room and there's a knock on the door and it's this dude. Okay. Creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Very like stoic, Stepford Wives like kind of creepy. he talks very like Hannibal Lecter-y.
The actor who plays him is Mark Moses, who played Duck Phillips on Mad Men. And he was also Paul Young on Desperate Housewives.
I thought you were going to say Mad Max.
Mad Men, okay, Mad Max, same diff.
He looked Mel Gibson-y to me.
A little bit, I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially with that hair. It was like that very iconic 90s, like dry fluff.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to like I'm not like I. Like I'm gonna fluff it like a woman like kind of hairdo.
Yeah.
But like if he had a mullet, you know, like the mullet fluff, he had that, but without the back.
Yeah.
That was his hair.
The 90s were gross.
Also very high waisted jeans.
Oh yeah.
I know. His package was out of control.
It was.
Out of control. I was like, whoa. Wore the same outfit each time he came to the door.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I agree.
Dude was in Miami for like a week and he didn't bring any clothes.
That's how you travel in Dallas, with the clothes on your back.
Yeah.
He's like, just so you know, I'm a hobo.
Did my dad only own one shirt?
Yeah. Was my dad a creepy stalker? Okay. All right. He's like, hello. I'm looking for George Devereaux. And then they're like, he dead. And then they're. And he's like, oh, he had like a locked and loaded story.
Yeah.
Like he knew this wasn't going to go well.
Like top of the list on his encyclopedia say, like what does that even mean?
He wasn't even like dressed like a salesman. He looked like he was, I don't know, running errands. He didn't look like at all like he was just he's a terrible liar, like but unlike his father was a way better liar than he was.
This is a pretty world-class lie. He basically got away with a child. He set up a trust and everything.
That's elaborate.
Yeah,
and the kid was like 30.
He paid Blanche's husband paid child support for 18 years.
Yeah,
like
I mean he had two sets of books. Yeah,
holy fuck. I would be so pissed. She was pissed, but she got over it. I think she got over it too quick. I think she needed to like cry, like have like a cry. I don't know, like a cry sesh.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would have, or like a hit thing sesh, or I don't know. I just wanted like more drama.
She just beats the shit out of Rose.
Yeah. Beat the shit out of Rose. That would have been fucking amazing.
I think what they're not gonna show us is just like how many dicks she's gonna suck show George in heaven like how well she's doing. Well,
that's what she's been doing the last couple of years though.
Yeah, so it's just like, well, I not really anything she can do that she hasn't already done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Now revenge, she's doing it with purpose though. Yeah.
Now she does. Now when she does it, she doesn't put like the frame picture down.
She's like, no, you watch.
See, at least I'm being honest with you, George.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
When George showed up to the door, I was like, you know, trying to predict where the episode would go. And obviously it would be illegitimate child. I thought it was going to be Blanche's son. And then I was like, wait.
Yeah.
She would know.
Yeah. That would have been like she just like had a baby and forgot about it.
Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, huh.
Which I feel like could happen in an 80s sitcom. Like
yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, she had a baby, didn't she?
Or she like gave up a son for adoption when she was younger.
That could have been it.
Yeah.
But not just like, who are you?
If it were that, there would have been some like, oh no, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And can we talk about how like she was really sexually energized by her son? Not her son, but her husband's
son. It's kind of like her husband was alive again, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Had his eyes and
well, it's definitely
his
dick. Too. His dick. She was just like that, like I don't know. She I'm surprised she didn't see George in him.
Right. That would have been some good revenge, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know what you call that.
What if, oh, man. They could have fucked. This could have been,
I thought they were gonna.
I bet they did. They just didn't show it. They just cut that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did just go back to Dallas. Yeah. He was like, I can change my flight.
Yeah, did we see him leave?
Like,
no.
Yeah.
He's like, can I use your washer to wash my one shirt and stay for a little while longer?
Yeah. I think he's a road travel guy at best. I think that's a bus dude.
That's fair, yeah.
I think that while he was in the car, she went and gave him a hand job. out of the window style.
Your father loved these hand jobs.
You want to know things about your dad? Let's go.
Okay, so then she's like, he follows her to the store,
right?
Why are you stalking her?
Yeah, that was handled very casually by everybody, even Dorothy, who was kind of concerned.
No one calls the cops.
Yep.
It's just this person is following you, and then they invite him into their home. Afterwards, they're just sit down. We need to talk about your creepy stalking.
Yeah. How you're stalking.
That does very fast.
If someone is stalking you, don't invite them to sit on your couch to have a talk.
Right.
You call the police.
I just thought it was weird that they thought he was just a weird, creepy encyclopedia salesman, and they remembered his full name that he gave them for some reason.
David Patton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that he just say, my name's David, and then you forget about it because you don't remember salesmen's names.
Yeah. That's true. I struggle to remember most people's names.
Yeah, I don't even think I would recognize his face. Like, if he came up to me at the market, I'd be
I'd be like, good, he's gone now. That was weird.
Even now, I cannot remember what the guy looks like. So I don't know how they did.
He looks he looked like Marlon Brando and Matt Dillon had a baby, and then Mel Gibson raised it. That's what.
And then it went looking for Blanche.
And then they went looking for Blanche. Yeah. Fucking weird. This episode is kind of. It drove me nuts. Okay. All right. And so. I forgot where my place was. I think we talked about a lot of this stuff already.
We just got past the supermarket part.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, there's this scene in the kitchen where, he finally tells her that he's his fucking, I don't know, what would you call that?
Son?
Yeah.
Illegitimate
son?
Is
that what you call it?
Bastard child.
Bastard child.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm your bastard child. No. He drove me. They told him to, emotions? Don't use those when you act.
Yeah, just have a weird, creepy southern accent. That gives away everything immediately.
Yep.
I didn't understand his accent at all. Yeah. It was he was trying to do American Horror Story hotel owner.
Yeah.
Ghost dude.
Yeah.
And then a southern accent mixed in that. And it drove me nuts. And then Blanche is she's legit in denial that this happened. Yeah. She kicks the dude out. She's like, get the fuck out of my house. Rightfully so. I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I would kick him out.
Right.
I don't know. I would.
I mean, it's letting him in, and then, that was a weird move.
Yeah, she was fine having him in the house when she thought he was a creepy predator dude. But
do you think... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I don't know. But like once she found out this might be somebody she could, you know, relate to in some way, she's like, get out of here, you know.
Well, she had to think about all the dudes that she didn't get to fuck. But yeah. Go ahead.
She, yeah, like her dudes she didn't get to fuck flash, light flash before her eyes. Yeah.
She's right. Remembered like all the times that she didn't.
Gone to waste. Do you think she was more upset that this dude didn't want to fuck her than the fact that her husband cheated on her?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Blanche isn't a total monster. Yeah. I think she's more upset about the husband thing.
Yeah, it was definitely part of her grief.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like she was disappointed. She was very disappointed. But then it's just like, that's just...
Well, she was like, I gave you a hand job.
I gave you a grocery store parking lot hand job. And now you're telling me my marriage was a lie.
I made your dick head pop. And this is what I get. That's why he wore the same outfit, because she would get it dirty. Okay. So, it's all stained. Okay, so the next scene, she's like real, she's like woke, she's like legit. I'm going through my diary.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm going through my diary. And, like, I'm seeing all the signs mm-hmm. of my husband cheating on me. And I don't know. I've never met a mother / wife that kept a pink diary. Like... Do you have time for that when you're raising children?
Some people do.
Is that a thing?
Did Blanche do have they? Kids?
Okay.
Sorry.
She had like 5 kids.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
She well, that's probably why the diary entries were short. It was just like, he's back from Dallas. He bought me earrings.
I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility. Yeah. I don't think they were consistent, but I think they probably existed.
I mean, I kind of thought that was a pretty boring entry, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. But it had enough information for her to sleuth it out.
A weirdly specific amount of information. Yes. Yeah. Very convenient.
Okay. So, and then, okay, then all the girls start talking about their husbands and cheating on them and stuff. Rose is like, in Minnesota, or the St. Olaf law, I wasn't too sure if it was Minnesota or St. Olaf, you get to, if you cheat on your wife, she gets to keep everything that doesn't ferment.
Right.
And so that was her thing. Yeah. And then I forget what Sophia's story was.
Oh, she had been pregnant, and she was like 4 months pregnant, or I don't know. She was very pregnant, and she'd gained a bunch of weight and was like mean and crying. And he almost cheated on her with a non-pregnant version of her, which she did not understand.
So. Oh.
Right, the spice of life.
Yep. I thought it was weird Dorothy didn't jump into that conversation, because you know Stan probably cheated on Dorothy, you know.
I think they just didn't even want to say it.
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, all right, we're just going to shorthand this.
You know Stan's a piece of shit.
I mean, he's like cheated on her on the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like he's come in and like had sex with somebody on the show.
I forgot about that.
Okay, and then all right, so then like it was funny cuz then like Blanche was like, "Thanks for rubbing your non-cheating husband in my face." And like I was like, "Dang." Yeah. That
I think Blanche was just lashing out. I think she just couldn't articulate her real feelings.
I think Rose was just proposing legal reform. So,
pretty much, yeah.
If all the world were like St. Olaf.
Okay, and then the next scene, it's like, okay, Rose confesses that she lied.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Like, she never, like, I guess everyone lies, but yeah. She's, I thought better of her. Whatever. And so I guess she did lie, and like fucking, what was my note? What was my point on this comment? I think I can't read my handwriting. Okay.
Well, basically, like she told like a joke story. It's yeah. like a it's As like if, yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody remember what the original joke is?
It's like you go to a guy's car breaks down. He goes to a farmer. The farmer says the only place you can sleep with is with my daughter. So he slept with her daughter.
Is that the whole joke?
I don't know. I don't know.
It seems like I've heard a lot.
There's variations of the joke. Yes, and that's why she was like, I heard about it 100 times. And I was like, what? I could not tell what was real in that part.
Yeah. It's very ambiguous.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of like that, and I heard like I've heard the farmer's daughter fuck joke. Do you guys remember that?
Wait, which one?
Yeah, like
what's your version of the joke?
It's like you're stranded in the farm. Like this dude is stranded, and he goes to this farm, and he meets this farmer, and he's like, "You have to, you can sleep here, but you can't fuck my daughter."
Right.
That's yeah. And then, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's different versions of the joke, but then so he tells his daughter. So he, in order to like. In order for him to not have sex with his daughter, he puts like sharp glass in his daughter's vagina.
Okay.
And so
I don't know if I've heard this version.
We're going with the PG version of this joke.
Okay, and I heard this recently. Yeah. And then the next morning they were at breakfast, the farmer and the dude that was stranded and his daughter, and then he was like, "So how was your night?" And then like he's like, "It was good." Like his tongue was all cut up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
So I've heard
I haven't heard that version. The one I've heard was a lot tamer. This feels like when you get a bit older and you hear like the Red Riding Hood version where like they chop open the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then Rose says, "I didn't make strudel for a year." Mm-hmm. And then Blanche is like, "Well, that's not so bad." But she's like, "Strudel is what we call sex."
But even if it weren't sex, even if it were just food, that would be like a big deal for a Norwegian.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was like, "Why do they call it strudel?" Because of the icing.
Oh my god. You know what? Probably, yeah. Yep.
He makes like the wavy stroke.
It's warm.
The fillings.
Nice. Okay. And so like I'll say that it's not like what she did at the end, Blanche, was like she was like she came to I don't know, she came to terms with it kind of quickly. I think she realized it's not his fault. You know, it's not his fault. He's a bastard child. He's like his mom is a bastard and she's dead now. So
yeah, everyone that she should be mad at is dead. So it's like so it kind of makes sense to not be completely over it quickly, but just to, you know, deal with reality.
Isn't that the goal in life, Amy, for everyone that you should be mad at to just be dead?
Yes.
Yeah. Blanche really did win here. Goal.
Yeah. It's like, I'll forgive you when I feel like it because you're dead and it doesn't matter. So, yeah.
If you're still alive, you win.
Yep.
That's how I feel about being gay. Like, as long as I don't have AIDS, I'm winning.
Round of applause.
I'm winning you. Anyway. That's the equivalent of like losing weight and going to your high school reunion. Anyways, okay, so it's not his fault. It's not his fault. He's like, I don't know. He's some kind of like, okay, his mom must have fucked every dude because mm-hmm. he's fucked up. He's got mom issues
yeah.
up the ass because he's stalking her like crazy.
Mm-hmm. He has no social skills.
Yeah. Doesn't call no. ahead.
I think his whole childhood was just sitting around dreaming about fishing with his dead dad.
Yeah.
Does he like fishing? Also, very one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
And usually I complain about that when it's like a fucking minority, mm-hmm. you know, when they make a black guy or a woman or a gay or like that.
Yeah.
But this dude, they took cisgender and made that one dimensional.
Yep.
And I was just like, that's what that looks like. All right. That's what that looks like. Okay. Yeah.
Golden Girls are being like, the writers just can't write young men. It's
what do young men
do? Do they like to fish? What is this?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever fantasized about fishing before.
Yeah.
That dude definitely lives in a studio apartment. Yep. That's all I'm going to say.
Actually does sell encyclopedias. Yep. That's probably like...
Oh, this is that's why his lie came so quickly.
My father, did he like to fish? My father? Okay. And then Blanche is like, do you want to see pictures of him? And they're like ready to go. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, they're right there. And they find one of him fishing, his dad fishing.
First
on
pitch.
A boat. On a boat.
On a boat. So it's like, you can imagine he's fishing. I don't know. She's just trying to throw him a bone.
He's probably on a ferry. He's probably like not even fishing.
Yeah.
You can draw a pole.
Yeah. The one time he went fishing, they took a photo.
Yep.
And he hated it. He's like, he'd rather be getting some puss. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or he went fishing. And it's so weird that you wouldn't know if your husband fishes.
Right.
That's just weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it may have been like before they met or like in Korea or...
I don't know. I don't have a lot of... That's not a question I ask people. Like, do you fish?
Do you fish?
Like, do you not fish? Like,
have you ever fished?
I don't know if anyone else in this room fishes
or
not.
Are there photos of you
fishing? I don't care.
Yeah. Like, I'm never going to say.
She was too busy writing her diary to realize that her husband fishes.
I don't know if my husband Jeff fishes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does Jeff fish?
If I were her, I would worry less about if my husband was fishing and more about if he was going to Dallas to have sex with some floozy behind my back.
That's what she should have been keeping track of.
There's no bodies of water in Dallas. Get a grip, woman. Yeah. And also... Like, he's going to Dallas. That's so far. That's far away, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Where do they live?
They live in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was a traveling salesperson, wasn't he? Or
he was an encyclopedia salesman.
I don't know. I don't remember what George did, but yeah, I don't know.
Didn't he own property or something? Or I don't know. I imagine something with business.
Probably.
So he may have had business trips.
Yeah, this is general business trips, you know. I gotta go to Thailand, honey. Sorry. Yeah.
Who knows how many times he cheated on her and didn't, like, produce a child?
Oh, thousands.
Yeah. So, oh, man. Why couldn't they just have had an open marriage? Why do you have to be that way, George? If you're going to fuck around and you know Blanche would like to fuck around, just do that. You guys can still love each other. Jesus Christ.
They could have both fucked Andy Rooney. You understand?
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have both.
How much better would their life have been if they had had a three-way with Andy Rooney?
And then he complains about it.
That would have been amazing. And do you think that maybe he was convinced because his wife is so vivacious that maybe he was convinced that she was cheating on him?
I say always blame the woman, yes.
Incorrect.
Yes. Victim blaming. Yay!
Yay. We won.
Yeah. It's because you have boobs that I cheated on you.
He's just like, this is revenge, Blanche. He's just weeping the whole time.
This is crazy. Okay. And so, okay, did we skip? Okay, I skipped over the Sonny Bono thing.
Yeah, we skipped over most of the,
the subplot.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I think I skipped over a lot. Okay, so the Sophia, Dorothy, Sonny thing was fucking amazing.
It was.
Especially.
Great set piece. Fucking great, Dorothy. Great little scene.
Yeah, Dorothy looked like, I think they did her makeup or I don't know what it was. So she looked amazing.
She looked better than Cher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a really good look for her. Yeah. I think she should keep it.
Yeah, she pulled it off. And then, Sophia pulled off Sonny, too.
Oh, that tremendously.
That was an excellent mustache.
That was perfect.
Love that line, am I the mayor of Palm Springs or whatever?
I was Sonny Bono for Halloween one year.
Nice.
Yeah, because I'm short. And then my friend, who's not that tall, she's not a super, she's not 6 feet. She was Cher. Cool. And this was 2009 in Flagstaff, and we got super wasted. And then we sang I Got You, Babe on a costume at a costume contest.
Uh-huh.
There was no singing in it, but we decided to sing anyway.
Good.
Nobody else was singing. We sang, and we didn't win, but we made out at the end, and it was really, really weird. I was like, what if we had that?
That's cool.
It was because I don't know. Yeah. I don't usually kiss girls, but it's I had to at that moment. I had to.
Sometimes you have to do it. No one likes it, but you gotta do it.
You gotta commit to the bit.
Yeah, well, you were legally married for that Halloween, so.
Oh, no, wait. It was 2008, because my friend was dressed as Sarah Palin, and then everybody would walk up to her and be like, you're a bitch. I hate you.
They just thought it was really Sarah Palin, huh?
I guess. They were like, this is a costume. She's not really Sarah Palin.
It's easy to fool drunk people in Flagstaff. Is our main takeaway.
That is unfortunate. If there had been multiple Sarah Palins, would they just assume they were all?
Yeah, Sarah Palin's at this Halloween party, like in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then what happens next? Oh yeah. The Golden Girl. He's kind of like, all right, I saw the picture of my dad fishing. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. And then he takes it with him. Bye.
Just a nice, neat little bow on that whole one-dimensional character.
He's like, my clothes are getting real dirty.
Do you want my phone number? Do you want any? No. Okay, I'll just see you later. I'll just stop by again.
Yep. You'll see me around. You'll know when I'm back.
Maybe. Hold on.
You'll see. Yeah, I'll be in your bushes, lady. Yeah.
Maybe this picture was somehow worth a lot of money since it was the only known photo of George on a boat, and this was all an elaborate heist.
Oh.
national treasure?
Yeah.
This is just like this fucking scam.
I'm going to steal a picture of my dad on a boat.
That was the first picture ever taken.
Just in general?
It's a piece of history. Like,
it was like Washington crossing the Delaware. It was just like a tiny painting.
Mm. Yeah. He did it.
I bet you didn't know Washington crossing the Delaware was 2 by 4 inches.
Mm. You only see prints. No.
Sorry, I meant 4 by 6. Okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, we really didn't know.
Yeah, so. No one can tell how big things are.
And so he takes off. He's gonna watch her undress later, and she's gonna enjoy it.
That's right.
She's like, "I'll see you later." Wink.
Yeah.
and then the girls come in, and they were wearing their gold outfits, which they were great.
Yeah,
those were good.
Fantastic.
Beautifully draped, and they were runner ups. They didn't win, but they were runner-ups. Nobody ever wins.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's all right.
Second place.
But hey, if the winners die, then they'll be in good shape. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That winner could die very soon. Yeah. And so they get privileges. They get to cut a ribbon in front of a Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big get for Florida.
This was a weird mixture of A plot and B plot, you know?
Yeah. Just no, like... those did not go together. I was thinking about that during the episode. It's just like, this is, yeah.
Like, one is about cheating, being cheated on, and the other one's about, like, a mother-daughter, like, bonding
situation. No connection.
Yeah. Really took a back seat.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not Seinfeld, where the plots intertwine.
No, they just existed in the same house.
And then, oh, by the way, there was this whole joke about, Blanche didn't know who Sophia was, and she thought he was Cheech Marin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Golden Palace, which is the spinoff of Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Cheech Marin is the chef in that show.
Oh, wow.
That's how they brought that full circle.
Do they acknowledge this?
Did they call him Sonny Bono?
Yeah, they call him Sonny Bono. He plays Sonny. He's Sonny, Chef Sonny.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the girls leave to go celebrate, eat cheesecake, whatever. And then, like, Blanche is left behind, and she grabs the photo of, I don't know, her husband jerking off or something, and she's like, look at you. What did she say?
You son of a,
you, yeah, you son of a, and I could have had Andy Rooney.
Yeah. Yep. We figured out who it was.
God damn it,
they thought it was Morley Safer. Is definitely Andy Rooney. Which, you know, which make, would I, make everything it, all better. So
if I found out that, okay, I've never cheated on anybody. And you know why? Because I never had the chance.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why. I don't know. I've never really had, I don't know. Just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then if I found out a guy was cheating on me, I don't think that, or a girl, that gives you the right to cheat on somebody else.
I agree.
But that's because then you're just as bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like the sexual history. The main thing is just like, I don't know, honesty, because like they could have worked something out, or I don't know, because like that seemed to be her main regret. Just like she was upset that he cheated on her, but also just like, you know, she could have done other stuff too.
Oh man, I think they could have had a real interesting marriage. Right. Like, yeah, I think
communication,
that
kids.
Out.
That would be on HBO.
Yeah. All right. Did we miss anything?
Oh, yeah,
Did we do it all?
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, we covered it.
Yay! All right. So this comes out on. 1, 2, 3 on the 29th of December. Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Right before the new year.
Cool.
Yeah. So do you guys have anything that you'd like to promote? Or where can people find you online? Striker, we'll start with you. Go ahead.
I'm on Facebook and Twitter under my name, Striker Spurlock. And Amy and I both have a sketch show that we help run called Fatal Bus Accident. Amy, do you want to tell them what the next one is?
The next one is January 25th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have a couple shows in February.
Yeah, a couple shows in February.
Yeah, one the February the 1st at the Improv Shop in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's like a best of touring version of the show that we're going to do.
Yeah, so it may also, if you're not in St. Louis, maybe we'll come to your city, let us know. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter under my name.
Yeah,
so.
And then I run a showcase called Contraceptive Comedy that's at a sex coffee shop called Shameless Grounds. And
nice.
The next one is going to be January 28th, so come out to that.
Yay.
Hooray.
Oh, actually, this comes out, I lied, this comes out January 28th, so you can see that.
Okay, that's okay. Fine.
Yay, yay. Okay. All right. And Amy, is where can people find you online?
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter under my name. So, and St. Louis. Yep. Yay.
Just Google St. Louis.
Just Google St. Louis, and I just come up.
Amy will pop up.
Yeah.
Like George Devereaux.
Right.
Yeah, like Dave Patton, you'll just pop up. Okay. And Genevieve, how about yourself? Where would you be after December 28th, and where would people find you?
All right. Well, I've got What a Joke Phoenix, which is a national comedy festival being held in 20 different cities all over the United States, and one in Oxford, England, that's going to benefit the ACLU. It's happening inauguration weekend. And our show in Phoenix is going to be January 19th. 8 p.m. at the Valley Bar. We've got headliner Emily Gelati.
So, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so pretty exciting.
Yay. I heard about that.
Yeah.
And I looked into that, and I didn't see a Los Angeles location. So I was like,
I think there is one. I think it's there's a website. It's whatajokefest.com. I'm trying to remember if it was .com or .org, but yeah, that should have all the cities and like all the shows. And I think there's a couple in LA at Meltdown Comics. Great. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Check it out, guys.
Cool.
It's a good cause. And inauguration day.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
better day to be with with the funny people. And I did a bunch of shows, so I don't know what I'm doing after that. So
nice.
I have no shows to promote in front of me. I'm doing I'll promote the Bird City Comedy Festival.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
That's
yeah.
going on. Yeah. And that's go visit Bird City Comedy Festival.com. That's correct, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and submit your video if you're a funny person, you're a funny a storyteller, improviser, a sketch person. It's going to be an awesome Phoenix Festival second year. What else am I doing? Oh, February 1 through the 5th, I'll be at the House of Comedy.
Nice.
In Arizona. And I'm going to be opening for some white dude.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I know. That's all I know, he's white. Later on, I'll Google him. And so, and I'll pretend like I know who he is. Yeah, when I get
there. They like that.
No, that's the plan. They love it. I know who you are. Okay. Thank you. Music is by Brian Kokernak and Mike Dennison. Thank you, Stryker and Amy, for being
yeah,
here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yay.
Yeah.
And you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and we're going to be on Audioboom pretty soon. So that's going to be great. Or any other platform you should listen to us today. The next episode is Season 5, Episode 19. I forgot to say the original air date for this episode. It's actually 2 days before Valentine's Day in 1990. So this was the first 90s Valentine's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Super creepy. Okay. So the next episode is Season 5, Episode 19. I forget the title. God. We'll just make one up. It is titled Strudel Fun Time. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Strudel Fun Time. All right. Thank you again, Stryker and Amy, for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Yay. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a beautiful day and or night. Yay.
Yay.
All right. Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.